This morning I want to share a message with you that's titled this, God is in the details. You know, sometimes when you go to see a lawyer and you got to get a contract signed up, there's people say something. You know what they say about it? Something about details. Anybody know? No. The devil's in the details. Have you ever heard that before?
No.
What it gets at is that in the fine print, there's things that can get you that you don't know about. And so they use that expression, the devil's in the details. Well, I want to tell you this morning, I'm not going to talk about the devil being in the details. God is in the details. God is in the details of life. God is involved in the small things. Because in one sense, there are no small things. A lot of things hinge on very little things. And if you take away, you think, well, that small thing is insignificant. I don't need that little thing. I can just take it out. When the Challenger exploded, do you remember that? It was in 97, I think it was. When the Challenger exploded, do you know what caused that explosion? An O-ring. A little O-ring. And that little O-ring was designed for it to be operated at a certain temperature. And they were like 4 or 5 degrees below the proper temperature. The external temperature that day was 4 or 5 degrees below what it should have been for that O-ring, and it failed because of that. And of course, it blew up, and they were all killed. There was another Peruvian airliner that had 60 people on it. They were traveling from Peru. I had a note like this, but I left it somewhere. And they were traveling. They left Peru, and they were heading across the ocean. And all of a sudden, their instrumentation started to fail on them. And in these kinds of planes, it was a new plane. It was 4 years old. When the instrumentation fails, it was dark, it was stormy. They didn't know where they were. They didn't know what they were. So they called back, and they were getting direction, trying to get direction from the flight towers to get back to Peru. And but they couldn't trust their instruments because the instruments were going all over the place. So they didn't know where they were. And sadly, what happened was is that they were actually dropping more and more and more. They were heading towards the ocean, and they did. They hit a wingtip, hit the ocean. They tried to right it. They did the best they could, but in the end, the plane crashed. They were all killed. And come to find, when they found out, when they recovered the wreckage, they found out when they were doing maintenance on the plane, they put maybe there was dust or something. They put duct tape over intakes on the plane. Air intakes, and there was air intakes that were necessary for instrumentation to read, and they forgot to take them off after they were done with the maintenance. So a little square piece of duct tape caused that whole plane to come down. Small things matter. They really do, don't they? So little details in life do matter. And God, I want you to know something, is in detail. God is looking into the small things as well as the great. God is sovereign over all things. Now, sovereign means that he is absolute authority over everything in the universe. And when we begin to understand that, when we begin to understand that God is the one who's in control, and really, if you want to think about the last three messages that we had here as we've gone through this passage of Scripture, this is the fourth message on God is in control. In the first one, we saw that God was in control of our individual lives in wonderful ways, incredible ways, that we can age gracefully, and we can know where we're going, if you can remember back that far. In the second one, we saw that God was in control over all the nations, that he is in sovereign over the nations. He puts up kings and he tears them down. He's still in control no matter what happens. In the third message, we saw that God was in control over the devil himself, that he is still sovereign. Yes, the devil is powerful, but there's somebody more powerful. And even the things that the devil would seek to do against us, God can take them and do what? I can't hear you.
Turn it around for good.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. He can turn them around for good. God is in control. But I want you to understand something this morning as well, because we can think about the great events of life. We can think about the great kings and rulers and whoever it is that's in power. And we can also think about our lives and the external things. But I want you to know that he's involved in the little things. He's in the details. And that's not unimportant to know. Because small things can carry great weight. They can take us in great directions, or they can take us in other directions. God knows what he's doing, even in the small things. You can see that in the very creation itself. When you stop and you think about, when you look at the stars and you see the vastness of this universe, it's amazing. And it can cause you to stand in wonder and say, wow, look what God has done. But when you want to find out, well, what's the building blocks of all of this? When you go down into the small things and you take the smallest and the finest microscopes that have been developed, the electron microscopes and whatever else they're using today, to go smaller and smaller and smaller, you can find that there is order, not chaos. You can find that things are detailed and that they're carefully constructed. Wonderfully amazing that you can go to the electrons and you can see that everything is balanced and that there's the positive and the negative and it all works together. God is in the details. If he wasn't in the small details, the whole place would fly apart. Am I right? The whole thing would just cease to exist. But you know what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1? By Jesus Christ all things consist. All things are held together. God is in the details. When you go to the DNA, that is the coding that for life, and you find that this DNA coding is in all living things, and you discover that it is so complicated, so incredibly complex, that there is no computer on earth that can fully comprehend and write out all that is in the DNA in all the creatures that are on this planet. It is amazing, and yet every little piece of that DNA is important. Take a little piece out and you're in trouble. God's in the details. I shared this with the youth group, but there's this little beetle. And this little beetle has two tubes in it. One on one side and one on the other. Maybe I've shared this with you before too. Haley's already laughing. So this little beetle has these two tubes in it, right? And it produces a chemical on this side and a chemical on this side. And then it has another tube coming out the back end, okay? Now, when an enemy goes to attack this beetle, what happens is this beetle shoots chemical from this tube and from this tube into the main tube. Now, the amazing thing is that when these two chemicals meet, there's an explosion. Those chemicals are volatile, and when they're dormant here, but when they get in there, they explode in that tube that's in the back end of the beetle. So what happens is, just as the prey comes to attack the beetle, now I might be exaggerating. I don't know if there's any sound that comes out. But there's fire comes out of the back end of the beetle, and it causes the prey to back off. Now, can you imagine that? Can you see how amazing God is? Because, you know, this didn't develop by accident. The exact amount of chemical here, the exact amount here, causes the right kind of explosion here, and the tube that's in the back end of the beetle is not, it's a lot stronger than the tubes we got, because it can stand the fire, it can stand the explosion, and it doesn't hurt the beetle at all. Now, is God in the details, or is he not? Oh, friends, listen, he knows exactly what he's doing. So when we take a look at creation and we look at all of the aspects of creation, we have to say God is in the details of life. He is a sovereign God. He is in control of all things. Look what it says here in Psalm 103:19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all. And whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deep. Psalm 135, 5 to 6. He's in the details. But let's go to the passage here today, because I want to look at some detail that happened here in our story and see how much God is in control. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat. So they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? So he just said, I want you to go and prepare the Passover. And they said, well, where do you want to do? Where are we going to do this? The Passover was a meal that happened at the Feast of the Passover, where they came together and they killed a lamb and then they ate the lamb. And it was remembering how they had been delivered out of Egypt through the hand of the Lord by Moses. And so this is what they were going to do. And so he said to them, okay, he's going to tell them where they're going to have the Passover. Now, he could have said, the address is, let me look on the GPS, it's, just over in Jerusalem down the street, and the house number is such and such. Or go to this guy's house. That's not what he did. Why did he do it this way? Because he wants us to know, the Spirit of God wants us to know how much God is in control. Look what it says. So he said to them, behold, when you've entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Well, if I told you, I want you to go to somebody's house, and you're in a big city, and I say, now just go down the street. When you enter the city, didn't even tell them what street to go on. She said, when you enter the city, you're going to meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. If I told you, okay, I want you to go to this person's house. Well, where's it at? Well, when you walk in the city, you're going to see a man coming towards you with a pitcher of water. Follow him. You'd say I was nuts, wouldn't you? What are the chances that the guy carrying the pitcher of water is going to be going to the right place and that they're going to get there at exactly the time that he's carrying that water? Obviously, the man went to get water from a well, and he's carrying the pitcher of water, and he's going back to his house with it. Who can choreography this? Who can put that together with the timing exactly that he's just at the right spot as they're coming into the city, he's coming along with a pitcher of water, and he says to them, when you've entered a city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Follow him. Only God can do this, friends. Do you understand how God is in control? How much he is in control of the details of your life? And how much he's in control of the details of everything that goes on this planet? He's in control. He can organize things and just exactly the way he wants. Not only is he organized things in terms of creation, but he's organized things in terms of ongoing existence. Yes, we can say that God has a permissive will and he has a perfect will. In his permissive will, he allows you to make wrong choices. There's always consequences for it. But he also has ways for us to come back to him, ways to be restored to him, because he is in control. It's kind of like you start down this path, you make a decision in the run of a day. Well, what if I go this way or I go this way? Well, once you start down this path, that rules out what went that way. And then you go down this path, you make another decision, that takes you down this path, that takes you down this path. The possibilities are absolutely endless, aren't they? Yes. You think of this man who rises up and he says, well, I got to go get water. And then his wife says, oh, listen, could you fix this thing over here before you go get that water? Oh, gee, I got to go get the water. Well, all right, I'll fix it. So he goes and he fixes it. And that puts him a little bit later. And suddenly, when the disciples are coming in the city, he's there on time. God allows things to happen in our experience. There are many times I have found that. The timing has been amazing for me sometimes, how I've had these divine appointments and meeting up with people. But if I was a little bit later or a little bit earlier, I wouldn't have met them. And sometimes I feel like I'm, okay, I got to go do this, I do that. I can trust that God is in the details of life. And when I commit my way to the Lord, when I rise up in the morning, I say, okay, God, you're in control of this day. You're ultimately the one that's in control. And if you bring circumstances into my life that take me down this path or down that path, you have a reason and a plan in it. And when you're living in that way, what an adventure life is. Because then everything that's happening in the run of a day, I know that God is there. And I know that God is in control. Now, that doesn't mean I'm always trying to second guess what's happening. I don't have to do that. I can trust that he's in control of all of that and that he can give me the impressions that I need to have in order to accomplish what he wants done in that particular day. But we serve a God that's that amazing that he can arrange so that this guy comes with a pitcher of water at exactly the right time. The disciples meet him, and when they get there, then you shall say to the master of the house. So here's the guy. He's got his pitcher of water. He's going into the house with him, with the water. And they follow him in. And you will say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat that Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready. Look at those circumstances. It seems so, it is so utterly impossible for that to happen, any of it by chance. But what happens? So they went and they found it just as he said to them, and they prepared the Passover. That's our text for today, because I want you to understand how completely in control and how sovereign God really is. That I can trust the living God to take me forward and to know that he can direct my steps, and that when God brings somebody into my life, it's not by chance. I've told you this before. There are no wrong numbers at my house. I get wrong. You ever get somebody call you the wrong number? Yeah. I get lots of those. But when I get them, I believe God is in control. So here's what I do. I pray for that person. Sometimes I get in a conversation with them, if that's okay. Sometimes I know the person. Oh, I meant to dial somebody down the road. Yeah, sometimes their phone gets mixed up. But I always pray for that particular person because I believe that God has given me the privilege of praying particularly for that person. God is in control. Be sensitive. The people that I meet, you know, if I meet you and I have a chat with you, generally, I can't say I do it every time, but generally when I'm walking away, I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. Or perhaps something that you shared or a circumstance. I believe God is in control. And I want to line up with Him and I want to walk with Him through this life and be surrendered to Him and experience the wonder of walking with God. Because this is an incredible adventure. It means every day, Lord, I wonder what's going to happen today. What are you going to do today, God? Where are you going to take me? I believe that God is so in control that when it comes to doing a sermon, I'm not very orthodox. I don't sit at a desk for hours and hours and try to write out a sermon. I don't do that. Now, that doesn't mean I don't prepare. But I mean, I read the text and then I begin to pray and I begin to say, Lord, you have things for me to share today. Lord, this passage of scripture, at first I read it, I says, well, I don't know what you want me to share out of this, Lord, but you're going to give me something. And I'm waiting on Him. And sometimes I don't get what it is until the morning before. I'm awful thankful that He's gracious enough to give me something when the time I stand up here. But He's in control. I can trust Him. It doesn't mean you don't do the work. It doesn't mean I don't do the preparation. It doesn't mean I don't dwell on it and pray and wrestle with God. Say, God, show me. Show me what you want here, Lord. And usually, I say this, usually what God does is what I'm actually going to teach on. He does something in my heart about it first. Because if it doesn't apply to me, why should it apply to you? Right? If it's not real to me, how can it be real to you? So that when I'm actually beginning to speak, I feel what I'm actually telling you, that God really is in control, or whatever the subject might be. We need to live this way, friends. Not living as if everything's an inconvenience, because often that's the way we live. If only I didn't have this in my life. Oh, if only this would happen. If only that. And we live in the life of only. And we don't understand that God is still in control in the details of life so that I can turn to Him and trust Him with this particular situation, with that situation, and not live a life of frustration, and not live a life of fear, and not trust in other things. This morning as I did the puppet show, we saw how Lammy was trusting in his, you know, lucky clothespin or his lucky spoon. And so often people are trusting and hoping in luck. And they're hoping in this and maybe if that, or if only this happens. And it's a crazy way to live, friends, when there's a God who is a sovereign God who really is in control of all things. He's in control of kings. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like rivers of water, He turns it wherever He wishes. He's in control of the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. That is all things. Psalm 103:19. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases. Psalm 115:3. For I know the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. All the gods of men. All the other things. So where are you trusting? Where are you leaning in the course of life? Do you understand how much our God is in control? Think about Jesus dying on a cross. How did it end up that just before He dies, it happens to be, first of all, on the Passover when Jesus died? Now, how did that happen? Did Jesus plan it that way? God did plan it, that Jesus would die on the Passover. Why was it so important that He died on the Passover? Because in the Old Testament, the Passover celebration was a celebration where a lamb was sacrificed, and by the sacrifice of the lamb and the blood applied to the doorposts of the house, in the Old Testament story, when Moses left Egypt with all the children of Israel. You remember the story? You probably saw it on Prince of Egypt or one of those shows. Well, all of that happened and the lamb was sacrificed and the lamb had to be consumed and the blood put on the doorpost. When the time came for Jesus Christ to be sacrificed for us, do you know the New Testament says He's our Passover lamb sacrificed for us? The lamb in the Old Testament delivered them from the judgment of an angel that passed over and killed the firstborn in every household. Now, the Lamb of God, the blood of the Lamb is applied to our souls, and so that the judgment of God will pass over us. You see how much God is in control? That everything happened exactly the way it should be. How is it there was a man named Barabbas that was there? And why was it that it was decreed within the Roman government that on the day of the Passover for the Jews that one criminal could be released? Because God is in control. Because God was in control. It put it in the Roman government. It put it in to kind of make an appeasement to the Jews. And so this rotten criminal Barabbas is standing there. And Jesus is standing there. And who do they choose? Barabbas. And what happens to Barabbas? He went free. The criminal went free. And Jesus was crucified. What a picture God shows us here. You're the criminal, friends. You're the Barabbas. You might not think you are, but you're the criminal. You've sinned. You've broken God's law. You say, oh, well, I only broke a little bit. Listen, if you break one, the Bible says in James 2:10, whoever offends and breaks the law in one point is guilty of the whole thing. You're the Barabbas. But what did Jesus do? He took your place, just like he took Barabbas's place. And what happens to you? You go free. If you trust in Christ, you go free. Do you see how much God is in sovereignly in control of the circumstances? That this could all happen at just that time? How is it that there were two others crucified with Jesus that day? One on the right hand and one on the left. Right? Weren't there? They were crucified at the same time. Was God in control? Did he allow those circumstances to happen? Did he bring that to pass so that one sinner turns to the Lord and repents and gets saved and the other one doesn't call out to the Lord? Both of them mocked him first, showing that those two people on those crosses represented the whole human race. And I've often asked you the question, which thief are you? Because all of us have sinned. All of us deserve to be punished, just as one thief said to the other. But if we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ like that one dying thief did, and Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Bang. Just like that. Forgiven. Does God want to get a message across to us? Absolutely. Does he use the circumstances of life to bring it to pass? He certainly does. God is in control. He's in control of all the details. So listen. Trust God. Leave here. First of all, of course, trust him for the salvation of your soul. Be like the dying thief. He says, okay, God, I'm committing myself to you to save me and to keep me. All my hope is in you. Make sure of that, first of all. And then, whatever circumstances come your way, whatever bad news happens or good news happens or you slip on a banana peel or whatever happens, you can know this, God's still in control. He allows things to happen in our lives. And there's always a reason and a purpose behind it. Trust God. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to figure it out. I mean, you know, sometimes you don't figure it out. You don't know why it happened. I was getting out of the tub the other day and I was in a shower and my foot slipped and bang, I hit the back of my muscle and it ached for 3 or 4 days. I don't know why it happened. And I'm not going around trying to figure, God, what's the message? Why do I have a sore leg? God, I don't do that. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, Lord, I can trust you with this. Whatever the reasons, you know all things, God. You do all things well. God, I don't understand why you took my wife. I don't understand why he took her. But I do know this, that it was time for her to go. I know that. And I became convinced of that at the latter stages, though I had hoped and prayed that it wouldn't happen. But I can trust God with that. I can trust God with the circumstances of life, the hard ones and the easy ones, the good things and the bad things, so that I'm not living a life of frustration, but a life of faith, trusting God. He knows what he's doing. I can imagine those two guys, Peter and John. Wasn't it Peter and John that went out? I can imagine them heading out and saying, boy, that's quite an instruction to give us. What are we going to do here? Well, we'll do what Jesus said. Well, let's go. What an adventure. Okay. Has he got a pitcher of water? Nope. Him? No. No, he's carrying a bucket, but it's empty. Can't be him. And suddenly, there's a guy. He's got a pitcher of water. He's coming towards us. Okay. Well, let's follow him. They're following behind the guy. I'm wondering. Okay. He goes in a house. They're not invited. We'll go in too. They go in the house. They trusted God. Listen, trust God. He is not only sovereign in the Bible, in prayer, in the creation of the universe, in the small things, the big things, everything. God is in control of all things. Trust him. The circumstances of life are not luck and chance. They are a sovereign God who's working Will you trust him? Oh, yeah, but you don't know what I'm facing. God does. Does he have a way through it? He does. Lean on Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Accept the circumstances and realize God is in control. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for its truth. Teach us, Lord. We're slow learners. Many times, Lord, I've complained. And I've been frustrated. And I've wondered. And I don't know what's next. But God, I know you do. You can deliver us from our fears. You can cause us to lean on you and trust you. And we pray that you would teach us these ways, Lord, that we don't live in constant frustration. And even when we fail, and when others fail around us, and when things go in the wrong direction, and Lord, because of our own sin or somebody else's or all the possibilities that are out there, you're still in control. You still have a plan, and there's always another way for you to come at a situation. You're not stymied by it, Lord. You are a God who knows the beginning from the end, and we are so thankful that you do, Lord, because we're messy people, and we've made messes of lots of stuff, Lord. I don't know how we've all stumbled to where we are today, but I thank you that you're still in control, and if we're yours, you're carrying us. Even through the crazy things of life. And I give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Dear Father.